Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Oh.
with you. Let us pray. Merciful God, you gave your Son, Jesus, as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to feast on him in your word and sacraments, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the 16th chapter. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. The eyes of all look to you. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom
and tell of your power,
to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds
and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words,
and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling,
and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you,
and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand,
you satisfy the desires of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways,
and kind in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call on him,
to all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him.
He also hears their cry.
The Lord preserves all who love him.
And all who hate him, he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The eyes of all look to you.
And you give them their food in due season.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the fourth chapter. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter.
Glory be to you.
On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you?
What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is our text. They were seeking Jesus. That's what John tells us in his Gospel, chapter 6. All the people we heard about in the reading today, they were seeking Jesus. And that's a good thing, right? We would be thrilled if more people were seeking Jesus, wouldn't we? If family and friends and neighbors were asking about Jesus and were looking for him, and if every single pew in our church were full. And these people in John chapter 6, why, they're serious about it. They're dedicated seekers. They'll go to a lot of trouble to find Jesus, even getting in boats to go across the Sea of Galilee. Some of you here know what it's like to travel quite a distance to get here. But the important question is, why? Why are they seeking Jesus? And since you're here, I might as well ask you as well. Why are you seeking Jesus? What are you wanting from him? Now, a little background may be helpful. Knowing where they come from sheds light on why they're there. I suspect the same can be said of each of us. We each have our reasons for seeking Jesus, and those reasons may change from week to week and day to day. In the case of these crowds, they were there because they were hungry. The previous day, Jesus had fed them by multiplying loaves and fishes, and they had eaten as much as they wanted. They all ate and were satisfied. But of course, as always happens, their hunger returned. The next day, they woke up, and their stomachs were grumbling again. And so they sought Jesus again. Let's go find that guy who gave us that bread. It's almost like they wanted to make him their chief baker or something like that. So when they find Jesus on the other side, he doesn't seem particularly pleased about it. He doesn't say, I'm so glad you found me. He doesn't give them a handshake and a warm welcome, and he definitely doesn't give them more bread. Instead, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Or as another pastor paraphrases it, Jesus says, you came just because you want more free food. Stop it. There's something more important going on here. That food I gave yesterday was a sign. I'm not here just to fill your bellies, but your souls. I'm not here just to provide bread for this life, but for eternal life. I'm not just a rabbi. I'm not just a teacher, as you call me, but I'm the Son of Man. You came all the way across the sea for food that perishes? Would you have come so far and worked so hard if I hadn't fed you? Would you have crossed the Sea of Galilee just for my teaching? You wouldn't have, would you? And yet that's more important. You should be working harder for that food than for food that perishes, food that just leaves you hungry the next day again. Stop it, Jesus says. Repent. So seeking Jesus, it seems, isn't always a good thing. It's not good if you're seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons, if you're seeking him to satisfy your own wants or your own desires. That isn't to your credit, or to mine, or to anyone's. In fact, it's the very opposite, isn't it? To want to use Jesus for our ends, to milk him for whatever we can get out of him, shows just how sinful we can be. It is corrupt, and it is wicked, and it is wrong. And that's true even if the things we want aren't bad in themselves. Even if we want things that are perfectly fine and healthy and even necessary, even if what we want from Jesus is food, if that's all we want, then it is wrong. Seeking good things in the wrong way or for the wrong reason corrupts them. And of course, Jesus does give lots of good things for this earthly life. He loves to give good things. He healed many who were sick. He fed many who were hungry. He is the good shepherd. He loves his sheep and he cares for them, and that includes you. But to love and seek the gifts more than the giver, to love the things that he gives rather than to love Jesus himself, ruins the gifts. It puts them in the place that belongs to God. The people didn't seek Jesus because they wanted him to be their God. They sought Jesus because they really wanted him to be a priest for their gods, for the gods' belly and bread. That's what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to be a high priest of their bellies and a high priest of bread. They wanted to use him to serve their false gods. Those crowds were willing to cross the sea for bread. I wonder about you. Wonder about myself. What would we go across the sea to find? What is so important to you that you would go miles and miles to find it, or you would write a large check for it, or you would devote hours of time to it? What perishable things are you laboring for? And what would you use Jesus to get? We often love the gifts more than we love the giver, and we too need to repent. At this point, the people don't walk away from Jesus. In fact, this sort of piques their curiosity. They want to learn and know more. So they ask him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" What must we do to be doing the works of God? If we are to labor for the food that never perishes, how do we do that? They might have been expecting Jesus to repeat the Ten Commandments. They might have expected to hear something about loving God and loving the neighbor. They might have expected him to direct them to prayers or to rituals of the church. But that's not what Jesus does. Those things are all good, but you won't find eternal life through them. Those things cannot atone for your sins. Trying to keep the Ten Commandments will not take your sins away. Loving your neighbor and loving God is good, but it will not conquer death. Instead, Jesus says, "Believe in him whom the Father has sent." What work should we be doing? Believe in the one sent by the Father. Put your faith not in yourselves. Put your faith not in what you can do, but put your faith in the one who was sent. The one who was sent not from across the sea, but from across time and space, who came from heaven to earth to provide eternal life. Believe in the one who was sent to do the things that you cannot do. Believe in the one sent to forgive your sins and to conquer death, and put all your chips on him. If you're going to cross the sea for anything, if you're going to invest in anything, if you're going to dedicate yourself or be devoted to anything, then cross the sea to receive these things, to receive these promises from Jesus, not for food that perishes, not for food that's here today and gone tomorrow, but for the food that lasts to eternal life. And then the people ask Jesus for a sign. You can almost imagine the scene going on. Lots of people, maybe lots of people shouting things to Jesus. It was quite a crowd. So one guy maybe shouts, "Show us a sign and we'll believe in you." Someone says, "Yeah, what are you going to do for us, Jesus? What work do you perform?" And then maybe another guy in the back saying, "Hey, in the wilderness, back in the time of the Exodus, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They were given bread from heaven to eat. What can you do for us?" The implication is this. "You know, Jesus, the bread you gave was pretty good, but you just gave us earthly bread, and you're talking about the earthly bread that you're talking about, food that perishes. That's why we're back for more. You fed us yesterday, and we're hungry again. If you're talking about greater bread, then give us a greater sign." Well, Jesus had done such a sign. The same God who rained down bread from heaven during the time of the Exodus is the one who had just fed 5,000 people in the wilderness. A little different way. In the Exodus, God gave it and it landed on the ground and they collected as much as they needed. With Jesus, they simply passed the bread, and there was always enough for more. But these people were blind. They were blind to the gift, and they were blind to the giver. They couldn't see how great what Jesus had done was. They wanted something even better. They wanted something even more miraculous. They always want more. How often are we like that as well? Jesus gives us one thing, gives us one good gift, and we demand more from him. Jesus provides us with our daily bread for today, and we want enough bread for a week or a month or a year. Jesus provides us with his gifts, and we want even more from him. We heard in the epistle reading about the goal of the things that God gives, about the gifts and the promises that he gives to us. St. Paul said that the gifts we have from God, the promises that are ours in Christ, those are given so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried along by the wind, every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, or by craftiness and deceitful schemes. In other words, St. Paul says that we are to stop crossing the sea for things that don't really matter. We are to stop thinking that his gifts that he gives are no big deal, are just a little bit of ho-hum. We are to see that it is not the gifts that Christ gives that are greatest, but it is Christ himself that is the greatest gift of all. And that's what he wants to give us. Not the sign, but the one to whom the signs point. I often describe it in this way. If you were to go to some famous monument or site, maybe to Lexington and Concord, and you get to Lexington and you stop at the sign that says, "Welcome to Lexington," but you never went further. You never went to the North Bridge in Concord or to the battlefield. Have you really been there? Have you really received the thing that the sign is pointing to? And the answer is no. The bread that Jesus multiplied in the wilderness is like a great big sign, but you don't stop at the sign. You don't rejoice in the sign. You don't ask for more of the sign. You go to where the sign points, which is to Jesus Christ himself. And this is why he says to the people then, why he says to you today, "I am the bread of life. I am the one sent from God. I am the one who crossed time and space. I am the one sent to give you eternal life. All the gifts that you have from me, I give them so that you can find me. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And that's not just a statement, but that's a promise. Whoever believes comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So yes, enjoy the bread of this life. But when you get that bread and still find that there's something missing, when you find that there's a hunger and thirst, that all the things of this world are unable to satisfy or to quench, look for that in Jesus. Come to him and receive what he gives, because he comes to give you himself. He comes to fill you with himself. And he comes to do it for more than one meal, more than 40 years in the wilderness. He comes to give you himself that you might live eternally. Our Lord Jesus Christ did do a greater sign. It is the sign of Jonah, the sign of one who spends 3 days in the belly of a whale and comes out alive, the sign of one who spends 3 days in the grave and then rises from the dead. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one who has overcome sin. He is the one who, though we seek after lesser things, comes to give us the greater thing, which is himself. What sign will you do that we may believe? "I will die and rise again." And so he did. The one who descended in death has now ascended in life, and because he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, you too will live forever under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that you may have this bread of life, Jesus has come again today, comes in his holy word, and he comes in this holy communion. As he places this bread and this wine into your mouth, he says, "This is my body, this is my blood. that you may believe in him, which is the work of God, and that you may grow in him, grow in mercy and in grace and in forgiveness and in his life, and that you may grow in his gifts, in prayer and in word and in faith and in him, and that we may grow together, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Here is Christ, and here is the bread of life that produces such a life. So if you're going to cross the sea for anything, cross the sea for this. Come for the imperishable bread of an imperishable life. Come, Jesus says, and feast on me. Come and live. Come, I am the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you provided for the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness to the land you had promised, give us confidence to trust in your promises and to look to your hand to provide all we need for this life and for the life to come. Lord, in your mercy. Master of the vineyard, sustain those whom you send into your harvest. Give your blessing to pastors, teachers, Christian leaders, and all who abide in your word, that they would be enabled to work diligently and faithfully for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. God and Father of all, enable us to walk in humility, gentleness, and patience, that we would bear with one another in love, and be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for the birth of George and Karen Tessier's grandson, Cameron, and keep both mother and child in your care. Watch over all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Celeste Brooks and Abby LaBere. Lord, in your mercy. Be with all who are in times of transition, especially Bill and Barbara Parsons, leading them and supporting them with your love as they move. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, hear our prayers for the hungry and the homeless. Provide for them not only bread to satisfy their hunger, but above all, the true bread of life, Jesus Christ, who alone can fill and satisfy every need of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Show your mercy to the sick, hospitalized, and all who are in need, especially Ann Blaze, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, Alice Salcido, David Salcido, Ed Schaefer, Ron Smith, Michelle Studlian, Stan Thompson, Luann Trigo, Rich Verano, Carol Wade, Judy Ward, Danielle Weber, Pastor Timothy Yaden and Ruth, his wife, Al and Bernie, Carol, Dan and Patty, Melanie, Zachary and his family, Rachel, Gail and Jim, and Paula. Provide doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals to care for those who need health and healing. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, sustain the proper use of the sacraments among us, that your church would continue to be blessed with your gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation through the waters of holy baptism and through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
heart in peace.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.